Praise the Lord. I called it go for gold. Tell your neighbor, go for gold. Now, if you know anything about gold, gold is one of the most valuable metals. In the Bible days, gold was known as the most expensive metal. Although currently it's no longer gold. I think it's platinum or platinum. But gold was the most expensive. And every time the Bible wanted to put hierarchy in terms of value, gold was used first. You will see 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 11 to 12. It says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. It says in verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Are you seeing that the gold came first? Did you see that? Tell your neighbor, go for gold. Open to Revelation chapter 3 verse 18. So let's read this one. 1, 2, 3, go. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. Praise the Lord. Jesus is telling you, I counsel thee, buy of me gold tried in the fire. So, what do you really mean by gold? Gold represents those things in your walk with God that are of great value. Say after me, great value. They are so expensive that money cannot buy them. By now, you should know that money cannot buy everything, right? I'm telling you. There are some things that are so expensive in your walk with God, money cannot buy it. Money cannot buy it. And the gold of this world, even if you want to equate the gold of this world to it, it cannot match for many reasons. Number one, the gold of this world fades away. I'm telling you, it fades away. Even the Bible calls it corruptible. You know, somebody was telling me something yesterday. She bought what they call, is it Bitcoin or Ethereum or something like that? Bitcoin. And put it in what they call a wallet, something like that. And she did not know who had access to it, and the thing began to reduce. The Bitcoin or the Ethereum began to reduce and reduce to the point where the person cleared all the Bitcoin inside. But that's just proof to tell you that the gold of this world, it will perish. Are you following me? The gold of this world can perish. But there are some things that if you have, they will never perish. Are you with me? There are some things that is worth more than gold. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3 to 4. Think about all the things you have. Maybe if you have bought a car before. Or maybe if you buy a new phone or you buy a new iPad, the first 1 month or 2 months after you bought it, you'll be looking at it every day. Some people will sleep beside the phone. Are you following me? Very first day, I drove a Lexus Jeep that was given to me. I came out in the night to check if the car is still there. So, then I asked myself, what is wrong with me? Was I expecting somebody to? But I discovered that, Jeep. Hey, God. After a while, I could sense the Holy Ghost tell me, you are bigger than this thing now. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of things he possesses. Now all the legs are giving you problems. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. You are driving a car. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Now, gradually, all the things you place value on will fade away. There was a time in Nigeria, if you had BlackBerry. Ha! Who remembers that time? Right now, don't bring out a phone. No. Hey, don't bring it out. BlackBerry business. Who remembers? Every businessman, every top businessman had a BlackBerry. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 to 4, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Glory! Do you see that? To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. That means this one does not fade. The gold from heaven does not fade. Are you with me? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Still that same chapter, but verse 18. It says, for as much as ye know that they were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. He called it corruptible. You know, the devil likes to cheat also. Eh? The devil likes to cheat men. I'm telling you. And he tries to distract us from the real gold with earthly gold. He tries to distract us. An example of this we see in Exodus chapter 32 from verse 1 to 8. At a point in the journey of Israel into the promised land, Moses went to the mountain to get the commandment. And Moses was delaying to bring down this commandment. They were waiting. They waited and waited and waited. And Moses 40 days was on the mountain getting the commandments. Praise the Lord. And at some point they were tired of waiting. They were tired. Like, we don't know what has happened to this man. Let's read it. Exodus 32 from verse 1 to 8. But I will start from verse 1. The Bible says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. Verse 2, read on with me. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. Every time I read this verse here, I'm touched. So in those days, they even used to wear earrings. My sisters, wear your earring. Amen. Somebody wants to tell me, but they say sons too. If I catch you. The Bible says, and all the people break off their golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. Verse 4. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, this be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Are you seeing what is happening? The earthly gold, they have exalted it to become their god. Verse 5, read on. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, which thy brothers out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. I can imagine God saying, they have already started breaking the commandment before we finish writing it. Go down and meet these people. Are you getting me? And they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it. There are so many things to learn from this story. First of all, they got tired of waiting for Moses. What happened? They got tired of waiting for? Let me tell you, anything you do as an escape route on waiting on God has become your idol. Any easy way out you take, because God seems too slow to you, you have made it your God. They were waiting on God, waiting on Moses. Am I talking to you? And Moses was taking too long. You see, sometimes it looks like God is taking too long. Lord, you are taking too long. Ah! Move now. I've not done ministry for too long, but the short one I've done. I remember one time, I was in a bus. I think I was traveling to preach somewhere. And so, NDLEA, Nigerian Drug and Law Enforcement Agency, they stopped the bus. They said they want to catch people that are with drugs in the bus. And of all the people they saw to catch with drugs, is me. Maybe because I was keeping punk. I will keep this my punk in Jesus' name. They said, I should come down. He's a suspect. He has drugs with him. I came down. They said, this one, our pastor, he preached for us in the bus. They say, which kind of pastor? He's not a pastor. I said, sir, I'm a pastor. They said, open your bag. He opened my bag. It's all Bible. It's all books. He said, check where there is drugs inside. Then while some of the guys, the officials were checking, so their Oga was interrogating me. So he said, you say you are a pastor. If you are a pastor, preach for me. Never make that mistake. Tell David to preach for you. So I started preaching. I preached and preached and preached, taught, opened Bible, explained. The man said, I believe. I believe. Imagine, please come. Oh, he's a pastor. Come. Then he told me, the way you are too straight. This kind of your preaching is too, your way is too narrow. You are too straight. He said, it will tell before you blow. He said, take my number. I will give you somebody to go and meet. He said, this man, when he touch your eye, anybody you look like this, we give you all his money. I laughed. I said, this guy, you think I'm a JJC? There was a time when we were in the classroom, and then we just tie our banners outside. Somebody was passing this church going to do initiation in an occult group. They are known as the Odd Fellows. I don't want to call their full names. Odd Fellows. And he was going with two of his friends. They were carrying him there to their office. He passed the banner and he was arrested. God arrested him. He could not move again. They had to carry him from there, enter the compound, and they were looking for the pastor. Pastor Wisdom knows what I'm talking about. My wife, if she was here, she would have told you this full story. That's how we started casting out demons after service. So I laughed. I said, this man. He said, I'm serious, so. But I just saw how someone can just miss it because God seems too slow. Can you say after me, God is not slow? Say it again. God is not slow. Say to yourself, God is not slow over my life. His time is the best. He's working things out for me. Glory! Secondly, the gold that they melted to make the golden calf was the gold that they got from Egypt. Remember, they were slaves in Egypt. There was no way they would have gotten gold. Are you following me? How did they get the gold that they were bearing? Remember that when they were leaving Egypt, God said to them, I will give you favor before the people and you shall not go empty-handed. Do you remember? That was his promise to them. And the Bible says that when they were leaving Egypt, the people of Egypt were moved by the hand of God and they began to give them their gold. See, the Egyptians saw so much power that they responded, you know what? Your God is real. Take. That was the gold that they got by favor and they turned into a god. There are some of you. The blessings of God has become your new idol. You have, my God. They have turned the gift of God to God. Maybe God has moved in your life. Maybe God has blessed you sometime in the past. Maybe you've seen some little open door. It happens to everybody. It can be anything. It can be marriage, it can be breakthrough, it can be anything. When he wants to take over your heart, you say, listen, God gave this thing to me. This, you will not distract me from worshiping God. This one may sound funny. Some people, Lord, I want a phone. You get that iPhone, and that iPhone will make you will not pray again. You will not pray, you cannot read the Bible again. Screen time, 15 hours per day. Say after me, nothing will take the place of God in my life. The third thing you can point out from that story was that, now, Bible scholars say, that golden calf, have you ever asked yourself, of all the things they wanted to make a god, why did they make a golden calf? Why a calf? Have you ever thought about that before? From where is calf coming from into the picture? Now, Bible scholars say that there's an Egyptian god called Apis. which looks like a calf. Are you with me? And so, when they were there waiting for Moses, they used their gold and built a god that looks like that god in Egypt. That is pointing to the fact that when you are in a tight corner, don't allow yourself to go back to your old lusts, your old sins, the things that God delivered you from with a strong hand. Don't allow yourself to go back there. If I'm talking to you, say I hear. So quickly, before I go into the next part of today's teaching, what are those things that are gold in your life? Number one, first of all, the kingdom of God is gold. The kingdom of God is gold. The Bible says in Matthew 13 from verse 44 to 46, I'll read it quickly. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man had found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he had and buys that field. Verse 45. It's like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Verse 46. Are you seeing this? He sold all that he had and bought it. And he's saying this is the kingdom of heaven. There's so much to say about this verse. But listen. The kingdom of God in your life is the most important thing. This is gold. Are you with me? And like we see in this parable that Jesus gave, it must, if you really understand the value, it will command your all. If you really understand the value of the kingdom of God, it will command your all. But if I just say the kingdom of God, some of you may not get it. So I will try my best to break it into some bits and pieces. Number one, what are the things that are gold in your life that you must go for? Number one, doing the will of God with your life. Say after me, doing the will of God with my life. Say it very loud. Doing the will of God with my life. Some weeks ago, we did a teaching on how to read and understand the Bible, how to interpret the Bible. And the more I read my Bible, the more I discover that that teaching must be done again and again. Because there are things the Bible is saying, but people are not saying. If we believe that the Bible is what it says it is, the Word of God, there are scriptures that you will see. You will quake. Are you with me? The scripture you will see that electric will go through your body. Let me show you one. Matthew 16, from verse 24 to 27. The Bible says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Are you seeing this? Verse 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. I want to go on, but this verse is strong. Whosoever will lose his life shall find it. And whosoever will gain his life... See, this is Jesus talking here. This is serious. There are many people who feel like they are trying to prevent themselves from the rigors of the kingdom of God. They are like, this church, no, like the one that everybody's talking about now. Church will collect your money. Church will just use people. See, let Jesus use me. Praise the Lord. He said, if you ever find your life outside him, at the end of the day, you will find out you lost it. Well, let me explain more. I will break it down more. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Verse 26. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Do you know what this means? If you liquidate the entire river state, all the oil in river state, all the oil fields in river state, do you know what that is? That's not the world though, just river state alone. When I used to work in Halliburton, those days, they always talk about the biggest oil basin in this state, what they call the Egina field. Who knows about that field? I'm on my own, okay. Total was the one in charge of that oil field. They said the oil there is too much. It's too much. But it's not talking about River State. It's not saying if you can get no River State, no. It says, what will a man profit if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? Hey! They liquidate the entire Federal Reserve of the United States and enter your account. Boom. They liquidate all the money in Nigeria Federal Bank. Boom. Liquidate all the gold, all the Italian stuff in Italy, everything in Florence. Liquidate all of it and put your account. Boom. You say it's not enough for your soul. Maybe there is more to your soul than you think. There is more. Are you with me? Say after me, there is more to my life. There is more to my soul. Am I talking to you? Let's go on. Everybody, see verse 27. The Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. I want to ask you a question. Does the previous verse and this verse have a connection? Yes or no? But does it not look confusing? He was talking about what did the man gain if you lose the whole world, gain the whole world and lose the soul. All of a sudden, he started talking about the Son of Man will come with his angels. Ah, Jesus, from where to where? Where are you coming from? Go back to verse 26. Bible study is important in churches. What is a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? We usually use this scripture for evangelism. When we go to preach, we tell people, be born again. If you are not born again, you have lost your soul. What will a man gain if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What does a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? And is it true that if you are not born again, your soul is lost? Yes. But is that what he's saying? No. This scripture is deeper than that. Please pay attention. Please pay attention. Another example we use this scripture for is people who go to give their souls to occultic powers. And maybe they say, you know, you hear all those talk that he sold his soul to the devil, Illuminati, all those cults. And then, does that mean to lose your soul? Yes. But is that what this verse is saying? No, it's deeper than that. This verse is still deeper than that. What is this verse saying? You have to go to the context, verse 24. It says, anyone who will gain his life, or will save his life, has lost it. Anyone who will lose his life for my sake has found it. And this verse actually is a follow-up of the earlier part where he was telling his disciples, I want to go and die in Jerusalem. And Peter took him and said, no! He was telling his disciples, I want to go to Jerusalem and I will die in Jerusalem and they will beat me and all of that and I will resurrect the third day. And Peter heard it and said, no, master, you will not die. You will not die. You will not die. That's verse 23. Peter was rebuking him and he told Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. For thou serveth not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Meaning it is satanic to reject the will of God. When a man knows the will of God clearly and rejects it intentionally, you are taking the role of Satan. That's one. Number two, he's also saying, Peter, you will not stop me to do this will of God. This thing that God has said I will do with my life, I will do it. Are you following me? Then he starts and says, if anyone wants to come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. All that teaching was on the context to his disciples that I want to go and do the will of God. So just the same way I am taking up my cross to die, also every one of you who is going to come after me, you will take up your own cross and do the will of God with your life. If you do any other thing with your life apart from the will of God, you have lost your soul. Because I will come with my Father and the angels and I will judge every man according to his works. Are you seeing the connection? So that means at the end of the day, every one of us is going to stand before God with our lives. And God will say, did you do my will for you? Even after I made it clear that this is my will for you. If you say yes, or if you are trying to explain it away, you have lost your soul. That's serious. Very, very serious. Everything you are doing or anything you are doing, ask yourself, does this relate to the will of God for my life? Some people don't even know. And how do you find the will of God? First of all, you have to be born again. Follow the Lord. If you follow him that way, you will see his will. Praise the Lord. Say after me, I will not lose my soul. I will do the will of God with my life. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, it says, and the world passeth away, and the loss thereof, but he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. 1 Peter 5, verse 4, it says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory. Ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say it again, I will do the will of God for my life. Let me tell you something. Another trick the devil does is, he tries to make you believe that the will of God for your life is boring. He tries to make you believe that the will of God for your life is not the best. It's a lie, yo. Nobody loves you more than God. You cannot even love yourself more than God. Everything you think about that is pleasurable today, who created it? All the things you can list out as pleasurable, who gave it? Who created it? You know, this is a vulgar example. Should I use it? Do you know that God can decide that we don't need to have sexual intimacy to have children? Do you know that? God can decide that when you want a child, there is a certain factory you will go to. Submit application. And after 3 months, you receive your child. They will ship it to your house. It looks strange, but God can make... That would have been the normal thing. Are you following me? So, God has made it that way. He designed it so that he just wants to bless his people. God can decide that you will not need sleep to receive energy. You will just go somewhere and charge yourself. God can decide that you will not need to eat food. Everything that looks beautiful in this world. The Bible says, at the right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So that means all the pleasures that any man can receive, God is the best place to receive it from. Say after me, I will do the will of God with my life. Number two. The second thing on going for gold, I've called it personal purity. Something like personal purity. The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, 2 Timothy 2 verse 20. Let's open it. It says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Are you seeing once again, it's putting the whole gold and silver thing there. Are you seeing that? Now, how will you become that vessel that is in the class of gold and silver? He said, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. Some weeks ago, I was reading my Bible and the Lord whispered to me, not even some weeks, last week in Lagos, the Lord whispered to me, he said, do you know that there is something I call the attire of the harlot? I'm like, which verse is that? He said, search it out. So I went and set attire of the harlot, and it came out from the book of Proverbs. There is something the Bible calls the attire of the harlot. Ha! We are living in a day where Satan has vowed that he will wipe our generation out by impurity. It's talking about personal purity. Every time I preach like this, people message me and say, you are sound like Papa Kumuyi. I say, that's fine. Say it again, personal purity. Verse 21 says, if a man therefore purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Then it says in verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Amen. Amen. So, personal purity is gold in your life. Is golden. Are you with me? Ha! How will I explain it to you? You know, yesterday we even had a service. I had to talk about it. Flee, contending for your purity. Have you ever wondered, why is it that everything that looks like sin in our life and our generation looks beautiful? Why? Why does it seem easier to commit sin than to do the will of God? Why? And why is the devil so vested in tempting man? Why? There is something about your purity that the devil sees that you don't see. Are you following me? There is something about your purity that the devil sees that you don't see. You know, when God told Adam and Eve, if you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. I can assure you, I don't believe Adam knew what death meant. Even after they ate the fruit and they became naked, at least they were like, ah, this, we are still moving. But Satan and God knew how far that death had happened. The usual example I give is Joseph. If Joseph sinned against God and slept with Potiphar's wife, even Joseph would not have known he missed anything. Have you ever thought about that? The reason we know about Joseph, let me even tell you, there was nobody there to record it. I hope you know that the book of Joseph was written by, the book of Genesis was written by Moses. And Moses was born later on in Egypt. Remember, everything you saw in the book of Genesis was recorded by God. Okay, who was there recording the conversation between Eve and the serpent? Who recorded it? God was the one, he was there recording it. Joseph would not have known that he missed anything. All he would have thought about is, I know at one time in my life I had a dream. I saw myself, sun, moon, and star bowing down to me. But I'm not seeing anything that looks like it. He may have been promoted to be the chief baker in Potiphar's house, but he did not know that he had missed something. Listen, by just standing for righteousness, Joseph was sent to prison. To him, he was going backward, but in God's program, he was going forward. It was taking him closer to his destiny, but to him, he was like, I had a dream. They sold me as a slave. Now, trying to stand for what I think is right, I'm now in prison. It does not make logical sense. Many times in life, standing for righteousness does not make sense. It may look like you're losing, but you are not the one with the blueprints. God is the one with the blueprints. I can tell you, if Joseph did not go to prison, he wouldn't have met the person that eventually recommended him to Potiphar, to Pharaoh. Tap that me, I'm going forward. Amen. Number three, spiritual fervency. Say after me, spiritual fervency. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 to 19. I will read this one because I have to be fast now. The Bible says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, this thing said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. It says, I know thy works, verse 15, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched. Let me start verse 17. Jesus is trying to say, O church of Laodicea, because you are not on fire for me. This is Jesus' opinion about them. So, in fact, let's look at this one. He says, because thou said I am rich and increased with goods, and knowest not that I have need of nothing, You know, it's possible to think that if I have money, or if I have physical gold, then I'm okay with God. Do you know it's possible to think that? Especially in this generation, you can just see somebody doing very well financially, and you think a person is right with God. It's not always true. There's an argument going on right now on social media. Does God bless? Yes. Does God prosper? Yes. Do we believe in prosperity? Emphatically, yes. But prosperity on its own cannot be a sign that you are doing well spiritually. Did you hear what I said? Because in God's calendar or in God's program, it is not what you have that matters. It's how did it come? So if God blessed you, great, we love it, we experience it. Are you with me? But if you stole, it's not God though. So a person can be a drug dealer and be prosperous, and you can think because he has money, he's right with God. Are you with me? On a basic level, that does not mean you are right. So he was telling the Laodicean church, because you say I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. My question is, what is it about spiritual fervency that Jesus is saying that if you don't have it, you are poor, you are blind, you are wretched, you are naked? Is it not too much? Please think with me, is it not too much? But are we wiser than Jesus? If he's saying that lukewarmness equals wretchedness, then we cannot afford being cold spiritually. Some of you, today, God is telling you, rise up and fan to flame your altar again. Praise the Lord. And finally, what is gold in your life? An intimate walk with God with fruits. An intimate walk with God with fruits. Thank you, Jesus. an intimate walk with God with fruits. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. There's a reason why I'm saying this. Because many people, we are living in a generation where many people flaunt about their walk with God. But you see, in the Bible, even if a man does not claim to have a walk with God, with his fruit we know. Are you with me? Even if a man does not, you know, how do I put it? On Instagram, every celebrity is Jesus' baby. Even the one that dressed half naked is Jesus' baby. Abba's daughter. Pastor, the warrior. I'm seeing somebody say, Pastor, you like to worry people. Everybody's Abba's daughter, Jesus' daughter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. He says, so he was telling women that their beautification should not be in the outward things, but in the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Of great price. That means when a person has a meek spirit, that's a humble spirit, God is saying that thing is very costly. It is in the sight of God what? Great price. So, that intimacy with God that produces fruits of meekness like we are seeing here, it is in the sight of God what? Great price. Also look at 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6 to 7. Okay, everybody start from here. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if ye need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Verse 7. You know, sometimes when you read the Bible, especially when you read King James, it is very tempting to just read things and just pass. He's saying that the trial of your faith is much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. In this context, he was talking about persecution. But let me bring it to our context. He's saying that when your faith is tested, and you overcome, that testing of your faith is more precious than gold. So for instance, you can say, I'm a Christian, I'm born again, I know the Lord now, I'm growing spiritually. Then you want to just avoid anybody that will make you angry. Then one day, in everything you did, somebody just comes to step on your toes in a very, very embarrassing way. And they are literally testing your Christianity. You are like, God, this is my Christianity that I just started now. God, I beg. God, I beg. See. And you are in between. Should I give him the peace of my mind? Or should I just walk away? God is saying that pressure coming to your faith, if you overcome it, is precious than gold. Every single time you have an opportunity to compromise your faith or to act in a way that is not consistent with your new nature in Christ, and you don't fall for it and walk away, God says, you have gotten more gold. Are you guys what I'm saying? He's saying that the trial of your faith is more precious than gold. It's more precious than gold. The trial of your faith is more precious than gold. So that time when they are stepping on your toes, they want to make you just lose your mind and just lose it. And you can feel God telling you, calm down, just calm down. It's as if somebody's holding you from behind. Just calm down, just calm down, just calm down. Every time you say, if I leave me, I'm going to tell them, you're very, very stupid. By the time you are done, God's like, you lost gold. An intimate walk with God. With fruit. Say after me, I will go for gold. I will do the will of God with my life. Say it again, I will do the will of God with my life. I will walk in personal purity. In spiritual fervency. Say it like you are fired. You are fervent. In spiritual fervency. With an intimate walk with God. Bearing fruits. Glory. Glory.